the Bubble Genius Bob and Chen Show.
Hey, dude, being at the racetrack is a blast. High five.
Whoa, man, you can put your arm down now.
What, you gonna leave me hanging? Come on, bring it in for a hug.
That's okay, man. We're cool.
What's the matter? We're all buds, man.
Well, I hate to tell you, but I think you need to take a pit stop.
What? I'm not driving a race car, man.
No, pit stop. It's, an all-natural deodorant that'll keep your pits from, being the pits.
Oh, no. My pits are the pits.
Hey, don't worry, man. Luckily, my pals over at Bubble Genius have you covered. They've created all-natural stuff to help with summer stank. Everything from pit stop deodorant to cooling facial mist to talc-free body powders that leave you soft, not sweaty.
Hey, cool.
You said it. Bubble Genius keeps you cool all summer long.
BubbleGenius.com!
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes or cutaway coat, perfect fits. Dressed up like a $1 million trooper, trying mighty hard to look like Gary Cooper.
Ooper, ooper!
Come, let's mix where Rockefellers walk with sticks or umbrellas in their mitts.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Wednesday, June the 12th, 2013, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez. Brought to you every week by BubbleGenius.com. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius, best damn bath and body products in the entire universe. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Charles, easily the best attorney I've ever dealt with. He's fast, smart, he knows how to communicate with his clients. Bowen Group covers commercial, banking, manufacturing, employment, personal injury, and medical malpractice law. Large firm experience, small firm attention, elite firm ability, thebowenlawgroup.com. You can click the link there on the website right under the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show banner. So how about that? Gene Wilder turned 80 this week, so I thought I'd...
Oh, okay.
I thought I'd play that clip from Young Frankenstein, which always makes me laugh.
That was a fine year for Mel Brooks. Both Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles released in, I think it's the same year. So I think it was 73.
I had no idea. It was the same year?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, talk about prolific. Two really hilarious movies in the same year. And I'm preferential to Blazing Saddles more than Young Frankenstein, but really like that clip from Young Frankenstein. It's probably the only thing that I ever liked Peter Boyle 70, in.
74, pardon me, I just Googled that. 74. Yeah, they're both 74.
The only thing I ever liked Peter Boyle in. I just cannot, I gotta tell you, I've never been a fan of Everybody Loves Raymond. I hate that show.
But didn't you see Taxi Driver?
Well, yeah. I guess there's that, too. But, I mean, he didn't really have an integral part in Taxi Driver, did he?
No, he's great, though.
So, boy, we have a few things to talk about this week, don't we? I think we do.
I would say so.
You know, I'm going to resist the urge to spend the entire show and the entire after party talking about this, but there's so many different layers to this NSA story.
Yes, there are.
We'll try to do some other things as well, but this is really kind of blown
you know
away.
You know what happens when we do one topic.
No one likes it. Everyone
they
hates it.
They have a freaking fit.
But I think this story in particular, if we do end up spending the entire show on it, and I don't think we will. First of all, I don't think we're going to be arguing. Last time we spent the entire show on something, we argued the whole time. And it was about
I think you and I agree on this pretty much across the board.
Yeah, yeah. And it was about one thing that time, one topic. There are many, 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 many different layers to this. And where do we start? I mean, I guess we can start with the breaking news or the latest news on this NSA thing, which is that Edward Snowden took it upon himself to go to the Hong Kong press with that cyber warfare documentation. I mean, you look, all right, you know, I want to be perfectly clear here. I have really tried to hold back passing judgment on Snowden.
And there it
personally.
Is. It's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah. Until this, I mean, talk about, and see, my main concern, and I guess we'll segue into this by, I want to make this perfectly clear. My primary concern in all of this is that this guy isn't a crackpot, or that this guy could be a crackpot. And so therefore, I want to make sure the reporting is airtight. I want to make sure this guy's story is airtight before I start jumping on the bandwagon trying to canonize the guy. So I've been very skeptical of the reporting, and it wasn't automatic. I didn't look at the initial story, and I'll speak for myself. I don't know about you, Chaz. I didn't look at the initial story and say, "Up, Greenwald must be bullcrap."
No, believe it or not, I didn't either. My first response was that, you know, was that Greenwald managed to get himself a hit. That, but again, it, not long after that did it kind of go to, well, it's interesting that Greenwald is the one who was able to push this story into the mainstream. And as I said right off the bat, my second reaction was that's the reason it needs to be gone over with a fine-tooth comb. Yeah. And it needs to be looked at. It has to be eyed with suspicion simply because Greenwald doesn't report in a vacuum.
Yeah.
And this was the culmination for him of his obsessive anti-Obama narrative.
Yeah.
His obsessive pushing of that narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, one of my initial reactions, and I didn't say this on the blog or anything like that, one of my initial reactions was, oh, he's going to be a phenomenal pain in the ass now.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And that seems to have borne out as the truth. I mean, he has become a pain in the ass, going so far as to block people on Twitter who are just, I mean, I really was asking him questions in a very civil way.
Right.
I was kind of relentless about it, but I wasn't ad hominem attacking him like I just did, referring to him as a phenomenal pain in the ass.
That's not ad hominem. I'm really tired of that. I'm tired of this. That's a classic, you know, internet defense thing. Oh. Ad hominem. That and straw man. You know, half these idiots had no idea what either of those argumentative fallacies were until the internet came along.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this if you say something negative about somebody, that is not that it's automatically wrong, even though the reason you're saying it is because of a, you know, a lifetime or a career worth of things that prove that to be the case.
Yeah.
Greenwald is a pain in the ass. He really is. Greenwald is an insufferable pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I'm sorry. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly ended up being true, and you know,
And now that, as you said, now that he is in a position where he no longer, where he feels that he's reached the next echelon of his, you know, of his journalistic career. Now that he's sitting atop Olympus, yeah, he's going to start basically figuring that he has no need to converse with the peons anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, almost immediately, some of the information in his story, and again, want to highlight that his reporting was passed off as hard news reporting, not his usual op-ed blog style columns that he writes every day.
Right. His opinion and advocacy.
Yes, this was a real life hard news story. But it turned out that some of the claims that he was making were, let's put it lightly, exaggerated.
Well, they were, as you said, and as I said this week in the Daily Banter, they were exaggerated, and they were obviously exaggerated. And the reason for that is because he's trying to prove a point. He's trying to prove that he's been right all this time. He approached it with an agenda, and that right there, as I said, sets it up for that's the reason that you have to look at every single thing he does very, very carefully. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm saying that you have to go over it step by step because he's not somebody who's objective.
Yeah. And if he turns out to be correct on all of this, I'll be the first to backpedal and say, yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, me too.
Fine.
Really, I mean, I don't like him, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's right.
I mean, again, my chief concern is that we're not all being taken in by a scam artist here. And it's entirely possible. And the news today about the Hong Kong newspaper is kind of leading me in that direction. Where it sounds like this guy, Edward Snowden, could be, I mean, he could end up being this this kind of Ron Paul nihilist hacker guy. And I've run into a few of these kinds of guys in the past who they just want to destroy. And they're smart. This guy is clearly smart. He's clearly knowledgeable about IT processes and operations and things like that. But is what he says genuine?
Some men just want to watch the world burn, Bob.
There you go.
No, I mean, the genuine thing is one thing. The other issue, the thing that started this conversation that we haven't really gotten to is and I changed my story because I wrote a story yesterday for Banter that like you said, reserve judgment. You know, I said it's far too early to call Snowden a hero, and you know, but I'm also not going to call him a traitor yet. But he, you know, the sort of extended look at the interview that he gave to, you know, to the Chinese, to one of their publications, he said that the U.S., he told the Chinese that the U.S. has been hacking Beijing for, you know, since 2009. And that's the definition of a traitor. It's one thing to reveal information about your home country, about what that home country is doing domestically. It's another thing to go to an enemy of that country and then to reveal to that enemy classified material related to, I don't know, basically secret programs against that country.
Cyber warfare,
warfare. That's an act of treason.
Well, and even worse than that, even worse than determining how we should categorize Edward Snowden, the fact of the matter is, this could touch off a cyber war.
Right.
I mean, what this guy has done is gone to China and said, "Yeah, we're hacking you." If someone came to me and said, "You know who's hacking you, Bob?" You know, like back in October, everything that my entire digital life was hacked. They got into my email, they got into my website, they got into everything. And if someone came up to me and said, "I know who did that, and here's how," I would absolutely go after those people. I would do everything I could to make sure those people were prosecuted or worse.
Right. And you know what the important thing about what Snowden did is, it's no longer an act of conscience. Because when you say, "Look, I'm revealing this information because I feel that what the U.S. is doing to its own citizens is wrong," mm-hmm. that's one thing. But the NSA exists to do The CIA exists to do precisely what it's doing with China. Yeah. That's the entire reason for its existence. You know, I mean, it really is no surprise that the U.S. has been doing this. But to go over there and to make that public, that says that you don't have an issue of conscience. You are a nihilist.
That's exactly right. He's a nihilist. I mean, I'm trying to get to the bottom of this because I want to know. I want to know because everyone... like everyone's gone nuts this past week, screaming about worse than Bush and Obama is spying on everyone and taking everyone's phone records and damn him to hell, and we need investigations, we need to blow this whole thing up. I mean, it's everyone's gone nuts, and I need to know if it's based on a genuine crisis or if Greenwald has simply used his status and his visibility and his readership to deliberately incite this outrage using vague language and bad reporting. Well, maybe not intentionally. Maybe intentionally bad reporting. Hell, I don't know. But I mean, all we can, I mean, what else can we deduce when you read a story and there are things about it that either don't add up or that are just wrong? I mean, and there have been hints of this in the past. Remember the thing about the drone from a couple of months ago where he posted this thing on Twitter as if every police department was getting their own Predator drone and they were going to be firing Hellfire missiles into crack houses and whatever, or speeders, or however it was implied by the manic nature of his tweet. about the proliferation of drones to local police departments. But it turned out it was like a model airplane with a fancy camera embedded in the belly.
Yeah, and that's really a microcosm of everything Greenwald is about.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, again, really, for the cheap seats, everything he says has to be eyed with suspicion. Mm-hmm. And the Washington Post has already, and so has the Guardian, have already sort of walked back some of Greenwald's claims.
Yeah.
But here he is on TV, and he's just hammering away, because this is what he truly believes. It doesn't matter whether it's correct or not. Mm-hmm. This is what he believes. Mm-hmm.
And I think you really have to understand his agenda. You have to understand his style in order to fully grasp that. And that's why I've been writing about it so extensively. I think that's why you've been writing about it too. That we're trying to relate that. Well, especially your post about the media guide to understanding Greenwald. That was a great post for so many reasons, but primarily it kind of summarized a lot of the things we've been observing in terms of his style and how that style can actually undermine the veracity of his reporting on all of this. I mean, here's another example. Here's another example. This is something I observed happening in real time yesterday. By the way, I couldn't do it in my feed because I've been blocked. So I had to do it on, I had to kind of follow Greenwald's feed, mainly because I'm following this story. But Greenwald posted something on Twitter about how the Patriot Act enabled, quote, bulk collection of all Americans' records. Again, I emphasize, all Americans' records. Then someone replied, so another Twitter user replied, you mean some of, not all, unless you have something else to share? Question mark. And I'm going to get to Greenwald's response after a break, back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
All right. Sorry about the tease. We just were running up against the break. By the way, I got to tell you, I've had this album for, I don't know, since I started collecting CDs.
Right.
But for some reason, this past week or so, I have been in love with this album. Genesis's And Then There Were Three, which is a mouthful.
Right.
But I can't stop listening to it for some reason.
No, I get like that. I get retro, where I'll pick up one record that I used to listen to a lot, or one that I just dig into and listen the hell out of. I told you, I was going through like a Wings phase last week, where I was just listening to nothing but McCartney.
That's so
and Wings.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. And it's one of those things where I'm so into it. And again, it's nothing new. I mean, the album's been out since 1978, and I've probably owned it for 15, 20 years. But for some reason, I actually look forward to going back to my computer to dial it up on iTunes to listen to it again. It's weird. And there's nothing appropriate about it to what I've been doing this week or any of the news I've been covering or whatever. It's just one of those things. I don't know. It's one of those things that I'm really into. And it tends to happen now and then. But here was – okay. So let's backtrack here a second. Greenwald on Twitter claimed that the Patriot Act enabled, quote, bulk collection of all Americans' records. And then another Twitter user replied, you mean some of, not all, unless you have something else to share. Greenwald's response, the program we exposed is the collection of all Americans' phone records, unquote. That is a lie. Let's just say this.
He might have meant that you can collect any Americans' phone records, in which case, again, even the choice of one word matters, but he uses the most sort of overwhelming language he can.
Yeah, but I mean,
because that's what he's doing.
He's responding to someone who wanted a clarification between some of and not all, and he could have said,
and
"Well,"
and he's
some
being
of.
A smartass.
Yeah, he could have said, "Well, yes, yeah, some of," because what the program he exposed was about the NSA collecting Verizon phone records, and unless all Americans are Verizon subscribers, customers. Then they're not collecting all Americans' phone records. And even if, you know, some of the reports going around saying that the NSA was likely collecting mobile data from other carriers, too, that hardly indicates all Americans. So this is the kind of hyperbole that happens in Greenwald's universe. This is the kind of stuff that he deals with. And what it ends up doing, it ends up freaking everyone out. Everyone flips their crap and goes nuts, and it makes us look. It makes the progressive movement look bad. It makes the whole idea of you know the stuff that we've talked about in the past. The sort of the Twitter outrage machine makes that look bad. I mean, it's possible to make it look any worse. But this is what goes on, and I'm tired of it. It's just enough already.
It's interesting because I feel like this is sort of like Bonfire of the Vanities. It's like everyone is projecting what they want onto these characters.
Yeah.
You know, Edward Snowden is a hero to people who need that hero, mm-hmm. people who want him to be a hero. You know, and Greenwald is a crusader to people who want that. And meanwhile, you know, to the other side, I mean, there are people who I genuinely hope are practical like us, but then there are people on the other side who see him as a traitor. It's really interesting whenever something like this happens. It's fascinating to sort of watch the reaction to it from everybody. But yeah, I mean, even based kind of what you were saying, things have even based solely off of what happened a few days ago, what you know, the initial story when it broke versus now, things have already been dialed back. There was that initial insane outrage, and then information starts trickling out, and it's like, well, wait a minute, hold it. It's not quite the way that it was initially portrayed.
That's right.
Because yeah, it was. I mean, Jesus, the Huffington Post. The first day that this broke, their headline was a picture of George Bush and Barack Obama with their faces kind of combined, and that was it. And that was what you got out of it was Barack Obama personally has headphones on, sitting in the Oval Office, listening to your phone call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while you talk to your freaking grandmother.
Yeah.
And now, you know, a couple of days later, it's like, okay, you know what? Like you, and as you said in the piece that you wrote for today, that lie, that exaggeration is already out there, and it's around the world.
Yeah.
And now, as they scale it back, people don't care anymore because that's they're not interested in the details and in the details that really change, quite frankly, the entire makeup of the story. They're interested in that initial shock of, oh my God, the government is peeping on every single thing we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with direct access to servers, meaning
right.
Meaning that this is deliberately. This is, I mean, Greenwald.
Direct access, yeah.
Greenwald deliberately intended to leap to this interpretation that the NSA is directly accessing at will the servers of all of these tech giants. Basically going in and just pulling out data indiscriminately whenever it wants, just automatic access, unfettered access. And it turns out that's not the case at all. And you would think a guy whose source is an IT expert would have that knowledge, would understand that process, and then relate it to his readers. But that never happened. And I want to know why. Why weren't those details clear in Glenn's initial column? In his initial report.
Because as far as he was concerned, the end justified the means. And
yeah.
the headline was the most important thing because it proved to him, it proved what he has been saying all along. And that's what he wanted to get out there.
That's right.
The details didn't matter.
Mm-hmm. No, it didn't. And deliberately so. To add the details would tamp down the sexiness of the story, would tamp down the resulting outrage.
Right.
To understand that no. What direct access actually was an FTP server, was Dropbox, for God's sake. Which is very, very different than having indiscriminate access to a company's servers. And henceforth, the personal data of everyone who uses those servers. This is an FTP server so that it's easy. I mean, I've been using FTP since I've been using the internet. The way it works is if you want to send files to someone else, some files are too big. I think like some of the email companies have like a 10 meg limit on emailing files. So what you do is you set up a secure area of your server and you give the person you want to send it to, send these documents to, a password and a URL. And then you put the files in that secure folder and then the other people go in and grab it and pull it out. It's the most convenient way to transfer files. It's what the internet is all about. And that's all this is. But everyone will be like, oh my God, oh my God, the government is prying into our every detail at will? Holy crap on a stick. Impeach. I mean, that, and that's what happened, and that's what's still going on now. The outrage, you cannot rebottle the outrage.
No. Yeah, and again, everyone, you know, everyone takes the side that, that they were destined to take.
Right.
They were destined to take it. You know what's interesting? It's fascinating to me to watch the sort of cultural breakdown of which side goes on which. You know, Kojo, the guy who writes, the other guy who writes for the banter, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Without any surprise whatsoever, came out in favor of, you know, just deifying Edward Snowden,
yeah,
and deifying Bradley Manning, you know, and because he's, it's a terrible thing to say.
What's
but,
funny,
you know,
what's funny, I mean, is that not even Snowden deifies Bradley Manning.
Right, right. But I mean, you know, just deifying, yeah, you know, they did a great thing, and you know, and it's interesting because they, you know, maybe it is just this hatred for the United States, which, you know, some of which is earned, absolutely. But yeah, it seems like, especially if you're European, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to you know, err on the side of supporting guys like Julian Assange and Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden and basically anybody who cracks these codes. At least it seems that way.
Yeah, so. Well, sure. I mean, and there are a lot of people who are predisposed to just, they're desperate to hear something that's inflammatory about this administration.
Yeah.
Well, especially on the right, but
right. And the United States in general.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a growing schism occurring on the left right now, and this is only exacerbating it. And again, this is part of Greenwald's agenda to scramble the left-right paradigm. He just can't stand that there, you know, that there are ideologies and they're on a spectrum. This is, Greenwald's got an issue with the ideological and political spectrum for some reason.
He does.
So
you're
now,
absolutely right.
Job well done, Greenwald. He's done it. Because you got, you know, you got conservatives lining up with liberals, Democrats lining up with Republicans, or, you know, Democrats fighting Democrats, Republicans fighting Republicans. It's like what is it? What is the operation from Fight Club?
Oh, Project Mayhem.
Project Mayhem. That's right.
Yeah, and it's, again, it's nihilistic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's this belief that there is something wrong with the very notion of politics as they stand right now, which, you know, in some ways there absolutely is.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, by dropping a bomb in the middle of it, that's the solution.
Right, right. Well, here's another question. Again, why didn't Snowden take his information? Clearly the guy can talk about IT stuff. Why didn't he take some of this information to one of the tech news sites? Why wasn't there any sort of vetting by Greenwald of the IT information? Why wasn't there at least a sidebar, maybe in Snowden's own words, describing, at least in a rudimentary way, how this process works? Why is it so damn vague? If only to further legitimize Glenn Greenwald and Edward Snowden.
Right.
Instead, what they've left themselves open to is a lot of ridicule, a lot of questions. And I think rightfully so. Did Snowden really have access to any CIA station in the world? I said in my column today, it's only slightly less far-fetched sounding than saying he's bionic. Could he really wiretap the president of the United States if he wanted to? And then, if not, why is he exaggerating? Why is he lying? I don't know.
I genuinely don't think that Greenwald worries about things like that.
No.
I really don't. I think he got the effect that he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And the sidebar of the effect that he wanted is to start the kind of conversation where if you and I sit here and have this kind of conversation that we're having, there are people who look at us and say, ah, how can you guys even talk about that?
Oh, yeah.
Look at the information they released. Why are you not talking about that? Why are you instead trying to shoot the messenger? Why are you trying to, you know, why is the, you know, the mainstream journalism with its fealty to authority, why weren't they out doing their job? Because that's what Greenwald exposed, how they weren't doing their jobs. It's like, oh, actually, no. You know, the NSA exists, and this is what it does, and just about everybody freaking knew that.
Yeah, everyone knows.
And from what I've seen so far, the program, while maybe you didn't like it, wasn't illegal.
We got to take another break. More after this. Hey, let's talk about soap. This show is brought to you by Bubble Genius. I still get questions. People asking me what Bubble Genius is. Well, it's best bath and body products you can ever possibly purchase. It's vegan, it's women-owned, it's independent, it's liberal, it's hilarious, and you'll be invariably sweet-smelling when you use Bubble Genius products. So go to bubblegenius.com for all your bath and body needs. Here's the latest word from bubblegenius.com.
Hey, dude, being at the racetrack is a blast! High five!
Whoa, man, you can put your arm down now.
What, you gonna leave me hanging? Come on, bring it in for a hug.
That's okay, man. We're cool.
What's the matter? We're all buds, man.
Well, I hate to tell you, but I think you need to take a pit stop.
What? I'm not driving a race car, man.
No, pit stop. It's, an all-natural deodorant that'll keep your pits from, being the pits.
Oh, no. My pits are the pits?
Hey, don't worry, man. Luckily, my pals over at Bubble Genius have you covered. They've created all-natural stuff to help with summer stank. Everything from pit stop deodorant to cooling facial mist to talc-free body powders that leave you soft, not sweaty.
Hey, cool!
You said it. Bubble Genius keeps you cool all summer long.
BubbleGenius.com!
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Your promo code for 15% off your Bubble Genius products, Bob and Chez, BOBANDCHEZ. You go to Bubble Genius, buy all your stuff. When you go to check out, type that in, and you get a big discount on everything from BubbleGenius.com. By the way, second half of the show brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. Shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link, and we get a small commission. It's right there under the logo on the blog. You can't miss it. It's in big capital letters. It says Amazon link. It's easy to understand. Just takes you right to the front page. And then when you buy stuff at Amazon, we get a little bit of a commission for that. It's great. Show is also brought to you by Dead Star Twilight, which is Chez Pazienza's riveting memoirs. Pick them up at deusexmalcontent.com and also through the Amazon link.
Of course.
All right. So, thanks to Peter King, Greenwald is now also a martyr.
Yeah. No, I saw that. No, I don't think so. He's a douchebag and a self-aggrandizing jackass, as like Charles Johnson alluded to this, and I would say the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. He is a pompous, insufferably self-aggrandizing piece of crap. But yes, he doesn't deserve to be killed.
No. No, he certainly doesn't deserve to be prosecuted.
Arrested.
Yeah, yeah. Pete King, who's basically been the fire eater, the anti-terror fire eater since 9/11. Every time the issue of terrorism is brought up, national security or whatnot, they wheel out Pete King with his giant Fred Flintstone head to talk about, you know, the evildoers. And so now, evidently, he's claimed that Glenn Greenwald ought to be arrested and prosecuted.
No, not. That's a bad idea.
Which then puts people like us in a position where we got to defend Greenwald. But it's true. He deserved a defense on this because this is bullshit.
Sure. No, you can't. Yeah, it's nonsense.
So anyway, so that actually adds fuel to the fire. I mean, God, as if he needs it.
One thing that I will throw out there, because this actually, you know, this is at the center, and I'll go ahead and cop to my my belief that's at the very core of this story, which is that it doesn't bother me. You know, it doesn't. The idea that now, if the NSA were doing things that were was utterly illegal, mm-hmm. that had no oversight whatsoever, that might be one thing. And even that, I you know, depending, I may be willing to give it a pass. I'm not kidding. Call me an ass if you want. But I don't. I understand that if a big attack happens tomorrow morning, every single person in this country is going to be screaming, why didn't you stop it?
Yeah.
And because of that, I have allowed a certain amount of, look, you know what? I'm not going to worry too much if the government is snooping in an effort to prevent bad things from happening to this country. No, I'm not saying that we sacrifice all of our, you know, all of our rights on a giant pyre. Mm-hmm. But you have there has to be a balance. You have to allow it. It's naive and stupid to say, well, there can be no, you know, the NSA shouldn't exist. The NSA shouldn't be doing what it essentially exists to do. Mm-hmm. Because that's nonsense, and I wouldn't have a problem. All those people who are like, oh, you know, if it were Bush, no, actually, you know what, I wouldn't have a problem if it were Bush either. I really wouldn't. I didn't have a problem. What I had a problem with before was the warrantless wiretapping.
Yeah, there was the warrantless wiretapping, and that's the distinction that gets kind of mowed over.
Right. Warrantless wiretapping is different from essentially legal. I mean, I get that, you know, they push boundaries quite a bit, but essentially legal with judicial overwatch. Data mining. It just is. There is a difference, whether you like it or not.
There's a trap in all of this, and it's being set by the Republicans with the help of some of the Glenn Greenwald types, which is that, yeah, say, for example, the Democrats decide, the Obama administration decides to go in and roll some of this back to make it more transparent, to weaken the effort, to disconnect some of this programming that gathers up all of this information, collates it and cross-references it and comes up with recommendations. Say all of that stuff is eliminated or at least weakened. And say then there's another terrorist attack.
The very first attack that happens, Obama is impeached the next day.
Exactly. Now, I'm not using a terror attack to scaremonger in the name of maintaining these systems, which I actually don't entirely agree with. What I'm saying is the Republicans are going to turn on a dime and accuse the Democrats of weakening America and allowing terrorist attacks to occur.
Right, because they play politics before they play what's good for the country every single time. So they will always do that.
Exactly. So they bait the president and the Democrats into rolling some of this back. And then
quite frankly, pray for something bad to happen.
Exactly. This is what they did with the economy. They brought the economy to the brink of disaster, right? And then as soon as someone tries to do something about it, they're clearly a communist. You know, it's this kind of trap setting that's indicative of conservative Republican strategy these days. And we've seen it before. It will absolutely happen again. One last break, back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Okay.
Still such a great song.
It really is.
Oh, my God. The song has held up amazingly well.
Yeah. I mean, both of those big albums that he released in that period of time.
Portrait of American Family was great, but now Antichrist Superstar was incredible, and honestly, Mechanical Animals, which is sorely, sorely underrated, was an amazing record.
I love that one. I actually like Mechanical Animals more than that.
I do, too. Yeah, I do, too, from start to finish, absolutely.
Cover's a little disturbing, but I don't care about the cover. Anyway, so Ron Paul is worried that Edward Snowden is going to be killed by a drone. It was hilarious when...
Well, Ron Paul has shrunken balls. I know that because I watched the Morton Downey documentary, finally.
Yeah. What did you think of that documentary, by the way?
It's not a great documentary, but it's still fascinating.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's watchable because of the content, because of the guy, the subject matter.
Yeah.
Morton Downey Jr.
It's funny because I used to, worked at MSNBC immediately following 9/11. That was when MSNBC wasn't located in 30 Rock. It was still, as somebody I used to work with called it, the nicest warehouse in Secaucus, New Jersey. It was still out in Secaucus.
Yeah.
And it was right around the corner from WOR. Uh-huh. So, like, I would go next door and drink at the bars, you know, next to MS once in a while. And I would run into, like, basically all those kinds of people that sat in the Beast, in the, you know, all the when they mentioned that it's like a sort of Jersey stereotype that was in his audience. I used to go drink with so many people who were just like that.
All those guys in the audience were just as, if not more insane than
Yeah, County. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's the who's worse, the fool or the fool who follows him kind of thing. Yeah. And it's those people, man, they were true believers. Those guys who would get up
and telling you, man, Sea Caucus.
Yeah.
Sea Caucus, New Jersey, dude.
And right. And the visual of seeing those people, like the real Jersey Guido guys in the audience or standing up at those loudmouth podiums on the show. God, talk about a step back in time.
Yeah.
That was just a microcosm of crackpot and hair gel.
Yes, there was a lot of that.
So by the way, I just want to say that Ron Paul quote, Joy thought that was an Onion headline. I mean, she seriously thought it was a joke. And no, but Ron Paul was really worried that Edward Snowden's going to be hit by a drone. And he's not going to be hit by a drone. I assure you, at least not based on what he's done so far. But he seems to be going around indiscriminately throwing documents everywhere. Like, oh, you're a reporter? Here's some top secret documents.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sorry. You know what? I don't give a crap what your take on it is. He did break the law. He broke the law, and these people who talk about it as if that doesn't matter. It's like, look, I have news for you. If you really believe that doesn't matter at all, then you are a nihilist and you are an anarchist. Mm-hmm. Because in order for a government to function, almost any government that has a military, that has national security, in order for that to function, there has to be secrecy. And there have to be people, I'm sorry, who follow the rules, mm-hmm. who just say, look, you know what? And I'm not one of them. I'm not employed by the government in that kind of role. So I don't really give a crap. But if you are there and you've taken that oath and you've said, I am going to keep your secrets. I'm going to shoot who you tell me to shoot. Well, you know, to with some exceptions, because there are absolutely exceptions for conscience when it comes to that kind of thing. But I'm going to spy on who you tell me to spy on. And that's, you know, this is my job and I'm going to keep these secrets. And you don't. The government can't function that way.
Yeah. And have the courage of your convictions. I mean, Martin Luther King, when he engaged in civil disobedience, he went to jail.
Right.
And he willingly went to jail.
Yeah.
Because he
ran
knew.
Off to Hong. Yeah. Snowden runs off to Hong Kong.
Yeah. Daniel Ellsberg goes to Boston, turns himself into authorities, turns himself in. Daniel Ellsberg.
Yeah, and Kodjo once again wrote, you know, that piece for Banter where he brought all this up. And his point was, look at the way the U.S. treated Bradley Manning, and that, you know, what can you expect? That's why this guy ran off. Except that's not an excuse.
No.
You know, that's not. This is not a one-to-one comparison, but it's, you know, it's like, oh my God. It's like Polanski.
Uh-huh,
suddenly
right.
deciding, you know what? I'm not going to get a fair shake. I'm not going to get a fair shake from the justice system. I've already decided that. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm just going to vanish. I'm going to decide that I'm going to never live up to any kind of justice that wasn't my own, that I didn't decide for myself. And that's wrong. Jeffrey Toobin from CNN just ripped him to shreds in The New Yorker, called him a grandiose narcissist. And I've heard that – it's interesting because I've heard the term grandiose several times. And I do think that there's something to be said for that, because it takes – even Manning, whom I didn't necessarily agree with on everything, at least he watched people being killed.
Mm-hmm.
So that may have – even though I think that he had issues beyond just – a crisis of conscience, there was at least something to look at and go, holy crap. This is, you know, the idea that people are being bugged. Yeah, all right, look, maybe it's not the greatest thing on earth, but again, that it was done legally. And this guy decided for everyone that he was going to drop a bomb in the middle of the national security infrastructure.
You want to talk about consistency? We spent 8 years, and this is something Glenn Greenwald rests his hat on. The fact that, oh, you got to be consistent from one type of administration to the next. Well, you know what? During the Bush years, all we would yell about is we are a nation of laws, not men, not people. We're a nation of laws. So just because, say, for example, I go, I break into a Walmart in the middle of the night and I snatch a bunch of food and merchandise, but then I take all that merchandise, I give it to the poor. Does that mitigate the fact that I broke the law? No, I still broke the law.
Right.
And if I really have the courage of my convictions, the courage of the cause, then I'm going to go and I'm going to turn myself in, or I'm going to allow myself to be arrested and face trial. Because that's how the process works. You know, and then you make your case in court. If your case is so solid, if you really believe that what you have done is for the good and the right of the world, then make your case in court. Don't run off. It adds another layer of suspicion to me.
Right. You know what? That's actually a very good point. That's a very good point. Because if you're trying to make the point that what happened, what's going on is wrong, if it's that important to you, you are against injustice. And what you've seen is so horrific and so wrong and so hideous and so immoral that you have to stand up and stop it, then you would think that what you would want to do is remove any question whatsoever about your own personality. You would want to remove that entirely. Yeah, granted, people are going to make up their stories regardless, but you would want to do everything within your own power to diffuse that situation. And the only way to do that is to say, look, you know what, I did this, and now I'm going to take my punishment. And now I'm going to take my medicine for it.
On top of that, yeah, too, if you want to encourage more people to come forward, you got to set an example, too. And that's by being beyond reproach, to being absolutely credible, to being absolutely forthcoming. Because then what that does is it adds a layer of legitimacy to what you're doing.
Yes.
Then the next person that comes forward, they'll carry on that entire tradition. You know, but if you're vague and you run and you're throwing stuff around, it hurts your cause. It really, really does. And again,
giving away information to a foreign government, which again, that is what the NSA and the CIA, that's what these agencies exist to do. You know, it's like when that WikiLeaks thing came out a couple of years ago, that a big deal was made out of it because like Hillary Clinton had BS'd the Chinese embassy. And there were people on the left who were freaking out over it. And I'm like, she's a diplomat. Do you not think we lie to people? That's the job of a diplomat.
Exactly.
And you can't do your job if you can't kind of finagle people a little bit. Kind of BS them here, kind of cut corners there. That's what being a diplomat is all about. That's the kind of thing that staves off wars.
Yeah, it's part of a negotiation. I mean, what you do when you negotiate a price, you negotiate with, say, for example, you have a client for editing your DIY videos. And they come to you and say, well, how much do you want for this? Well, you don't tell them exactly right. What you need to precisely do the job. You give them an exaggerated number as part of the negotiation process. And then you go back and forth, and you ultimately end up in a place where you earn kind of a profit margin, a markup above right. What it takes you to actually do the job.
Exactly. And I think that what this shows people is that Snowden, Glenn Greenwald, guys like that, they don't accept that the U.S. government, as far as they're concerned, there is no moral way for the U.S. government to operate, considering the way it's operating now. Like, as the government that it's been for the longest time, there's no moral way for it to operate. It doesn't, you know, I get the feeling that they don't like the military. They don't like anything we do. They don't like any of that. Because they're not just saying, look, you know what, Snowden isn't saying, hey, look, you know what, the NSA, it does a lot of really great stuff, but this crossed the line. Yeah. That's not what he's saying. Mm-hmm. He's saying, no, basically the entire thing that the NSA exists for, the entire thing that the CIA exists for, all of that is wrong.
Sure. And where do you draw the line? I mean, this is another one of my questions. I got a gazillion questions about this. What's permissible for counterterrorism? Because clearly having boots on the ground, we can't do that. We can't have the military going in and hunting down evildoers.
Right. And there has to be counterterrorism.
There has to be. We can't be invading countries. We can't be putting CIA stations and indefinite detention facilities all around the world. We just can't do that. That's not permissible. Well, we can't go after them with drones either. All right, so that's out of the question, too. Oh, and now we can't do any eavesdropping either. That's out of the question.
There can't be any telecommunications, any information gleaned from telecommunications.
Yeah. And you know me. I mean, I'm not one of these terrorism hysterics. I think that the terrorism threat is exaggerated.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think your chances of dying in a terrorist attack are minimal. I mean, by minimal, almost non-existent. But that doesn't preclude the fact that it doesn't exist. Yeah, right. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. There needs to be an effort of disruption, because there would absolutely be more if we didn't have it. So What level of government secrecy is permissible? What level of counterterrorism is permissible to these
none.
People?
None. That's the correct answer is none. Mm-hmm. To these people, that's the thing. The correct answer is none. Everything. That's why I lose my mind every time I hear one of these people scream about the police state. Yeah. You know, the cops come by and tell you, you don't have a permit to assemble. Police state. No. That's not what – you don't know what the fuck a police state looks like. Trust me. Trust me. Even this, even with this snooping, is not a police state. Well, when the Stasi come and knock on your door and black bag you, that's a police state.
Yeah. And even Hong Kong is more stringent than we are.
Yeah.
Right.
This
Hong
is
Kong.
Not a police state.
No. No. So the other question is this going to lead to more transparency, or is it going to lead to less transparency?
That's a great point.
Certainly there's going to be transparency with the stuff that's being released, but is it going to lead to systemic transparency with the NSA? I believe that it will not.
Absolutely not.
I think the NSA...
All it will lead to is tighter security.
Exactly. We're going to tie up all these loose ends. We're going to restrict the number of people, the number of independent contractors who have access to this. That we're certainly not going to let low-level IT guys with GEDs have access to the world's top secret information. It's not going to happen anymore. So what's going to happen is we're going to have less transparency through this. But there's a process. There's a process to do this. To do this the right way. And that is through credibility and legitimacy. To go through the proper channels. To go through, even if you don't go through the proper channels, to do it in a way that gives you... Absolute, stellar, golden legitimacy in every way possible. And by doing all of those things, by allowing yourself to go through I think Al Franken was talking about.
I think it's Scrutable, by the way. I can't remember.
Scrutable, inscrutable.
That's, yeah, inscrutable is like hard to understand. And no, I didn't Google that, believe it or not.
But
you're easy to understand. You're very scrutable.
Yeah, I think Al Franken Al Franken brought up a good point this week, which is that there's a way to do this that doesn't blow everything up in your face, and that's what's happening to this guy. It's all blowing up. There's a way to reveal information. There's a way to not reveal information. If you seem like you're a glory hog, then you're going to be you're going to lose credibility. If you run, you're going to lose credibility. You know, if your information is shoddy, you're going to lose credibility. Saying you have access to every CIA station in the world. What? No. And that's, that's the other thing. That's a really scary aspect of this, is that just some guy has access to all this information. If he is, in fact, telling the truth. That some random guy at Booz Allen in Hawaii can access the president's personal information. That's a serious problem. And that actually leads me to another line of discussion, which is, if this is a matter of life or death, this information about the NSA, is this a matter of letting the terrorists win? Then why the hell do we have a system in which this low-level IT guy,
this idiot,
who used to be the rent-a-cop, is suddenly privy to all of this information? If we were concerned about the integrity of our national security apparatus, we never would have allowed all of this outsourcing to just random people, random private contractors stationed around the world with all kinds of access that they shouldn't have. I mean, it's absolutely absurd.
I think the thing that speaks most to this guy's personality also is he left behind a really hot ballerina girlfriend.
I just saw a picture on Talking Points Memo.
She is beautiful.
Yeah,
gorgeous back. That's something I rarely say. A woman's back, gorgeous back.
Yeah, I mean, the picture I'm looking at. It says it's from Talking Points Memo. It says girlfriend's blog sheds light on Snowden's time in Hawaii. And there's an overhead picture taken of Snowden. You see his back, and then you see her sort of sprawled out on the carpet wearing a blue
dress.
Yeah, on
the carpet. Yeah, trust me. Look at the ones where she's like showing her. I mean, she's a ballerina, so look at the ones where she's showing her back. She's just muscular and gorgeous.
By the way, what is she saying? Is she kind of angry about?
She says that she's kind of angry, kind of hurt. She says she feels very alone.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's questioning now how much she knew about what he was up to and whether he was going to leave, and when he did leave, whether he was going to come back and where he was going. Just all that stuff, you know. I mean, the story needed sex in the eyes of the media, so she's kind of injecting that.
Right.
She's very pretty.
Why did he say that he was making $200,000 when he was only making $122,000? I mean, $78,000 discrepancy is pretty big.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's there are things that he said that seem to be him trying to be grandiose.
Yeah.
That seem to be him trying to hype up his own station in many different ways.
Yeah. There's just these weird nagging questions that just really, really need to be answered.
He's a Ron Paul fan, man. That's about that. That is the thing that scares me the most. It really is. He's a Paul bot.
Yeah, he gave $500 to the Ron Paul campaign in 2012.
He's part of the Rand Paul
Relovution. Yeah, Relovution?
Whatever.
I don't know. I mean, there's a very strong possibility this guy's just a hacker and used his position to steal information that he wasn't privy to. We'll know in the coming weeks, and certainly we're going to keep talking about it. Hey, yep. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.